This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold. I hit it hard,
man. And good morning. Great to be back in Houston, Charlie Epps and I both in the same, well, not just building, not just same city, same country now, finally.
Well, how was your first major golf event?
It was terrific, Charlie. As I was kind of alluding to a little bit just off the air, what an experience it was. You know, you see it on TV, you hear about it, but to experience firsthand the energy around a golf course, and certainly, you know, even with Tiger not making the cut, but Thursday and Friday, just seeing the following that Tiger has on a golf course, and when he teed off on the first hole, that's a moment I won't forget. You know, I know it wasn't his best golf by any means, but just on the first tee, just to see how he is, you know, he's the man. He's the rock star around on the course.
And now he's preparing for the U.S. Open a little differently.
Yes, and we're going to talk about his decision, and we wondered if he would do this. That is to play in the Memorial, deciding right to do that and change something up. Couldn't have another 4 or 5 week layoff, we didn't think, going in. So we'll look at that. You were in Argentina.
Yes.
At a beautiful course. You showed me the photo. I've got actually the pamphlet in front of me, and you were telling me the setting. I said, oh, it's gorgeous with the mountains in the background. He said, hey, that's where I grew up right there. This is unbelievable course, just right, as you said, in the middle of a third world country. You would never know it, though, if you just gave someone this photo.
For the love of the game, it's called Terron, and a friend of mine, a buddy of mine, built it, and it's a housing development, and it's right there in Cordoba, Argentina, and we had a wonderful time playing it, and it's quite an undertaking. But, you know, all around the world, there's courses like this being built by people that have made a lot of money, and they want to make some more, sell dirt,
right,
and they use golf for that purpose. But it's quite an undertaking, and I really enjoyed being there.
I say, I saw a photo or two. I don't know the individuals you were with. Maybe I'm assuming it was one of your good friends. But I saw on Facebook you posted a photo from the course. It was a gentleman, and then either his son or nephew or someone as well. So yeah, fantastic. Great to be though back in Houston together here. Bill Harmon's actually up at the senior major. We'll mention that. So he's unfortunately not able to join us. That's because he's out on the course. He's caddying for Jay Haas right now this morning. I think they had an early tee time, if I'm not mistaken. But coming up next, the dominance of Brooks Koepka. 4 out of the last 8 majors, the new world number one. You'll hear from him. We'll give our thoughts on his career going forward.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
If there was any question before coming in, whatever a computer could calculate, some algorithm could spit out, this is just going to validate what I think most people knew. He's the number one player in the game.
Jim Nantz, CBS, on the call there as Brooks Koepka won the 2019 PGA Championship. He's now won 4 out of the last 8 majors, Charlie, and he had a 7-stroke lead entering. And that thing got a little interesting. Finally had a little bit of drama on Sunday because before that, it just seemed like he was going to cruise all the way to the finish line.
He needed a reliever.
That's right, yeah.
The last 3 innings were kind of tough on him, and it's great. It creates character. It shows you the intensity of a major. He takes a kid that is cool hand Luke and brought him right down to his knees, and he was needing some oxygen. Luckily, Dustin Johnson, he did his backward flip.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, the issues that Koepka had 4 over on Sunday. Dustin Johnson, if he, you know, the way he was, if he doesn't backfire, then we're talking maybe about Koepka, I don't know, choking it away today on the show, or, you know, a whole different narrative to some extent. I mean, Dustin Johnson was there for about 30 minutes, got down to 1 stroke.
All the difference in the world. He birdies the hardest hole on Sunday, 15, gets himself set, and then bogeys the next two holes to kind of let Koepka slide in. So, number one, we found out a lot about Koepka. He is the number one player in today's ranking, you might say. Is he, you know, a true number one? We're gonna find out, because now he's in rarefied air.
And to see what he did for much of that weekend in course records and just kind of, you know, lapping the field almost to some extent for a little while, well, you know, considering the course that he did it on too, Bethpage Black. I mean, we were talking the weeks leading up to this, just how difficult of a course it is, the length of the course, also, you know, the length of the thickness of the rough, and certainly before that there was rain and the cold. To do all of that, to have a 7-stroke lead, to set course records, and to win a major at a course like that, where does that kind of stack up? Now, it's not going to be as memorable by any means as what Tiger did at the Masters for a variety of reasons, but just in terms of winning a major and all the elements that came with it, how impressive was that Koepka won that tournament?
Very impressive, and I kind of described it. He's in rarefied air. He won back-to-back U.S. Opens. He won back-to-back PGA Championships. I call that the Koepka Slam, to own yeah. four majors like that so quickly. But it was happenstance. That golf course fit what he can do on a golf course. There's a lot of guys who just can't play that type. So now we're moving forward to the U.S. Open. So with a lot of drama, can he be the first player ever to win back-to-back-to-back U.S. Opens? I mean, that's kind of like winning three batting titles in baseball or scoring titles in basketball. I mean, you're dominating the sport, you know, that you're participating in. There's a lot of guys trying to get there, but he has a incredible sense of what he got for golf. He's a golfer.
No, he's taken over the golf world at this point. And this is what Koepka had to say about that major win, because four out of the last eight, and you say, okay, you know, which one was the most satisfying? Why was that the case? And I thought his answer was very interesting.
It's been so much fun these last, 2 years? It's pretty close to 2 years. It's incredible. I don't think I even thought I was going to do it that fast. I don't think anybody did. And to be standing here today with four majors is mind-blowing. Today was definitely the most satisfying out of all of them, for how stressful that round was, how stressful DJ made that. That was probably definitely, I know for a fact, that was the most excited I've ever been in a long, ever in my life right there on 18.
We've talked about Koepka, you know, not showing a ton of emotion. And for him, that was funny to hear him say, that was the most excited he's ever been, which was, you know, for a lot of it would be expected. He had the fist pump there at the end to win the tournament. And he said it was the most satisfying. And he kind of gave the reason, because it was a struggle on Sunday, which initially I had to think, and I said, oh, that's interesting. I mean, you were setting course records. You were making it look easy for the first three. But I guess because you had to kind of gut it out at the end is what made it the most satisfying there for Koepka.
Well, in every sport, in competing at this highest level, it's all about momentum. And once you get that momentum going the wrong direction, it's kind of like sliding down a mountain slide. And, you know, how do you stop it? And luckily, Dustin Johnson helped him. I mean, when he
his
goes
best bud.
Back-to-back bogeys on 16, 17, I'm sure he kind of had a little sigh of relief. Man, this is getting too close. So, but it was a great PGA. I was happy for you to be there experiencing all that.
It really was. It was one of those moments you won't forget. And I think it's, you know, it's interesting. You know, and Bill obviously have been to tens of, you know, dozens of these major events, and to hear you guys talk about what that's like, and to be able to now kind of at least relate in a small sense to what it's like to be at these major tournaments. And now I was joking with you off air. I was like, all right, already looking ahead. Next year it's out in California.
And so then in 2024, the Ryder Cup.
Well, that was what was amazing, Charlie, was in the pro shop and stuff there at the PGA, which, by the way, you could drop, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars there in a heartbeat, because they got incredible, you name the brand, they've got it, and it was fantastic. But they were selling 2024 Ryder Cup shirts. I almost bought one just to be like, all right, one day I'm going to wake up and it's 2024 and I'm already going to have the shirt. And people say, oh, you went? No, I've actually had this shirt years and years in the making. Yeah.
But it also, would you recommend a golfer who's just kind of getting into the game that's really not sure where they're going to go to take time to go to a major golf event like that?
I think it's something you should experience. If you're just a fan of sport in general, even if you're not the biggest golf fan, but certainly right now, I mean, a thing that was important to me, and I said this about some of the greatest athletes that we have ever seen, and right now we're in the NBA, we look at LeBron James, right? I have actually not seen LeBron play in person. That's something I need to get done here in the next 2 or 3 years before he retires, right? Or whatever it may be. Tiger, certainly one of those athletes that you want to see play. I never got the opportunity to see Michael Jordan play, so I would that's another reason for me to tell people now, if you're trying to go, and it just so happened I saw him, after winning that amazing major there at Augusta, and he didn't, Tiger didn't have his best golf there at Bethpage, but just to see him and to see the crowds around him, and also just to see the galleries, which were 25, 30 deep, and it was still crazy on Sunday, by the way, following around Brooks Koepka. Now, we were on the air at the very end. I wasn't, unfortunately, at the 18th. At the end of the tournament, we were on air broadcasting at that point in time, but just seeing the energy around the golf course, and it turned out to be a beautiful weekend as well.
Are the New York fans over the top?
Hey, that was the discussion heading in. There were moments. There's always a couple in the crowd, and the alcohol was flowing, Charlie, that's for sure. The alcohol was definitely flowing. The interesting thing to me, and Brooks Koepka talked about it as well, is once fans saw the leaderboard update, out on the course, and saw that DJ was making this a little interesting, giving us drama, finally, for the first time really all week. We really didn't have any drama.
No.
Some fans were starting to chant DJ toward Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
And Koepka handled it well, and Koepka even kind of said in his post-game press conference that, hey, I was halfway choking it away. I understand that. He didn't have an issue. He understood it.
Yeah, he got help.
Yeah, yeah, no question.
He got help. Now we move on, right?
Absolutely, we move on. But I want to ask you this. On the other side, Brooks Koepka, 4 out of the last 8 majors. And so now people wondering, okay, he's the golfer that people are looking up at on the tour, but how many of these can he win? There's an over-under in Vegas, or I should say an offshore book set. Well, look at that number. I want to see if you think the number's too high. Would you take the over? Would you take the under? And we will talk about Tiger Woods. He announced he's going to play in the Memorial, plus our guy Bill Harmon, who's not with us today. There's a good reason for it. We'll explain and take a look at that senior major leaderboard as we continue this morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
It's been a hell of a run. It's been fun. I'm trying not to let it stop. It's super enjoyable and just try to ride that momentum going into Pebble. I think that's, 4 of 8. I like the way that sounds.
Brooks Koepka there, and we'll take a look at the odds for Pebble Beach. No surprise, he is the favorite to win that. I think he's going to be the favorite for the next majors, year plus, for the foreseeable future. He will be the favorite at all these majors, don't you think?
His record is second to none, rarefied air, yes.
4 of the last 8, and it has been amazing what he's been able to do. We're just getting started here on a Memorial Day weekend. Hope everybody has a chance to obviously, honor those that have served our country as well, and in memory of those, and take some time with the family, enjoy it, have a safe weekend here as we are in Houston. It should be gorgeous weather for us here. It's going to be a little warm, but no rain. So I don't know, Charlie, if you'll have some time to get out on the golf course a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go out today. But speaking about Memorial Weekend, we're thinking about our veterans. I had the pleasure of serving my country. I was drafted. I spent, time understanding what the military does and what a sacrifice it is. And to all of those people, I salute this morning. I still think that our country, that every citizen should serve our country in some shape, form, or fashion. Army, Navy, give back to your country. And it's so satisfying. So, but for the people that have given their lives, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's go to the Arlington and the Vietnam era. Anyways, it's those people that allow us, you and I, to get up on Saturday morning to talk our passion, to share what we've learned, and it's an important weekend in our lives.
100%. Memorial Day weekend here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio. And in this show, in its own right as well, we want to thank our friends over at Insperity for allowing us to continue doing this show as well for the foreseeable future. And Insperity opened a couple weeks back. I'm sure they're already thinking about next year as well.
Always, always moving on. But more importantly, they're thinking about all of their customers and all their small business partners and how they grow their business along with the people that they help. And I just, people are listening to our show. We've in 120 cities. Insperity is all over. If you want some, you know, some professional help with your, you know, your human resources, today's regulations, anything, give Insperity a call or log on to their website, Insperity.com, and read what they're all about. And I just can't recommend nicer people. Everybody that lives in Houston, one of the top companies in our city, over 3,000 people that work to help everybody else. So Insperity is just a wonderful company, and I hope you all give them a look.
Now, those of you listening saying, hey, wait, where's Bill? Where's Bill Harmon this morning? Bill is in Rochester, New York. In fact, last Saturday when he joined us on the show, he was remote too. All three of us were in different locations across the world last week, not just in this country. And he was in Rochester at Oak Hill getting set for the Senior PGA Championship, and so that's why he's not with us. He's out on the course getting set for this morning. He is caddying for his good friend Jay Haas there at the PGA. I was trying to look to see, pull up the leaderboard. I don't know if you had seen that.
Here's the leaderboard.
Here he is. I see him. There we go.
Esteban Toledo, who won the Insperity Invitational a couple years ago, is leading. He is tied with Paul Broadhurst, who is from Scotland and a great, great player. Retief Goosen, who is the rookie on the Champions Tour, is right there behind him by two shots. And this golf course they're playing is very famous. It's
Oak Hill, sure.
Oak Hill in Rochester, New York. They've had the Ryder Cups, they've had U.S. Opens, the PGAs, and they've had this senior championship before, and it's a very difficult, but it's a fair golf course. So we'll have to see what's going to happen this weekend. Number one player on the Champions Tour, Scott McCarron, had 69 to move into contention. He's at one under. So when you get time, you know, one of the things that I do is tape golf and watch it sometime during the week when you have time. So that, and then you can run it back and forth. It's a good way, if you can't see it on Saturday and Sunday, to have something to do during the week.
I would say, especially this weekend, you're trying to spend some time with the family as well, and you don't have a chance to sit around and block off X amount of hours to watch some golf. And so that's something that you can do as well. Now, I did. Jay Haas, looks like Bill and Haas are on the third hole right now.
Third hole
this morning. Two over today so far, looks like.
And Bill, for an older gentleman who is, you know, over the age of 65, to be still doing his passion, which is being alongside his best friend, Jay Haas, who was also inducted into the Oak Hill Hall of Fame, which is a neat honor. And Bill's brother, Craig Harmon, was a pro there for 40 years. So there's a great, great history of the Harmons at Oak Hills with Jay, it's really fun to see. And Bill's probably going to have some shin splints.
I was going to say, he's going to be worn out.
He's in good shape. I mean, considering a few years ago he was in Houston and mm-hmm. we didn't know what was going to happen, and he's a cancer survivor. He's quite an individual. He's got a great perspective, and I'm sure next week we'll have some good stories from Bill Harmon about caddying once again.
Yeah, we will definitely ask about that. I was disappointed he wasn't going to give us a phone call just right there in the middle. I wanted a live update from Bill. I mean,
he's
on the
third.
I mean, come on. How busy can the guy be?
He's got his cell phone.
So Bill will be back with us as he wraps up, of course, a fun week, I'm sure, there at Oak Hill for the Senior PGA Championship. A question I kind of teased there before the break was about Brooks Koepka. He's won four out of the last eight majors. Just to win four majors alone is remarkable at his age. And then to win four out of the last eight is a whole other conversation. The next question I have seen a lot of people look at is, okay, is he the guy 3-4 years from now? Nobody will ever be Tiger Woods. Nobody's comparing that. But just in terms of success on the course, dominance on the course, are we going to look up one day, wake up 3 or 4 years from now and say, wow, he is expected to win these type of tournaments? Are we headed in that direction? The over-under in Vegas of future major wins, career for his entire career, however long that career is going to be, here's what it's set at. You can bet on this. Over-under 7.5 major wins. He's got four. I posed the question on Twitter, and everybody, you can imagine, Charlie, what the response was. Everybody was like, over, 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 over. And I get it. He's got four. You say, if he's got four in the last eight, what's another four? Easier said than done, right? What's your answer? What would you take if you were a betting man here? Does he get over 7.5 majors for his career, which is a long, long time, but you just never know what can happen?
If you take my betting record,
is that a good one?
Whatever I say, go against
oh,
it.
Oh, okay. We're fading Charlie.
He's the prototypical guy like Jack Nicklaus that was built, and he can handle stamina. The only thing that concerns me is his wrist injury. If he can stay healthy, but, you know, you take Rory McIlroy, who really got hot, and he twisted his ankle before the U.S. Open at St. Andrews. So injuries, barring injuries, he certainly has an opportunity. He's proven that he's comfortable in that environment. And also leading a tournament from start to finish. So it's like Vegas, they always have that half in there. So
You have to do that.
He's definitely – can he win the Masters? Yes, he can. He finished second this year. So he is now the rabbit to chase.
It's
going to see how can Jordan Spieth, who had won three quick majors. Rory had won four quick majors. So
and that's the example. That's kind of the dilemma on why it's tough is – Weren't we just a couple of years ago saying somewhat? No, we didn't see the dominance necessarily, but we were wondering, oh, is Spieth going to be the future guy everybody's looking up at? Is Rory going to be that guy? And they still, of course, are significant players on the tour. By no means are they scrubs or anything like that. But we were kind of wondering these same type of things a few years ago, and then both, as you mentioned, ran into whether it's health or, you know, Spieth. You've talked a lot about his body changing and the adjustment he's need to make. I know we're going to talk about Jordan Spieth here in a little bit and what he's been able to do in the last 2 weekends.
He suffered a debilitating loss. You go back in the history of golfers that lose that type of an event, it really has a hard time coming back. Personally, Tom Watson, three-putted the 71st hole of the U.S. Open 1983 against Larry Nelson at Oakmont. He didn't win for 9 years after that. A lot of different circumstances. But we're going to be watching a lot of Brooks Koepka.
And that was what was impressive, too, for me. Koepka won when he was setting the course record. He was doing it in the same group as Tiger, with the gallery and everything, obviously pro-Tiger crowd. But then, for me, with what happened at the Masters, I mean, a lot of people feel like he choked that away. Had an opportunity just 6 weeks ago now, I guess it's been, or whatever, the exact time frame when he dropped it in the water.
Yeah.
But for him to bounce right back and unfazed, I think that says a lot about mentally where he's at and just such a level-headed and focused golfer. So
level-headed.
Brooks Koepka, sensational performance over this past weekend and really the last 2 years, four of the last eight majors. Coming up next, Tiger announcing he will play in the Memorial. Was that the right decision? We'll look at some U.S. Open odds. Mickelson, Grand Slam opportunity, perhaps?
He has the opportunity, the only one in the field that can do it.
We'll take a look at that and more on Jordan Spieth. He's actually tied for fifth at the Charles Schwab Challenge. Charlie at the Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
So something we've had a lot of fun with here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour this golf season, specifically around the majors, we've kind of drafted our foursome of golfers heading into each major. We did it for the Masters, and we were so close. I think we were all within a stroke of each other. Between the winner, three strokes of each other for our foursome that we drafted. I edged you guys out at the Masters by a stroke or two for that. And then we drafted again, Charlie, for the PGA, and I was calculating the results, and here's how they finished up. Bill had John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Kevin Kisner, and then we threw out Leishman because that was the highest score. So Koepka was great, 272. The problem for him, Rahm, Kisner, Leishman didn't make the cut. So he got 80s on Saturday and Sunday from both of those guys. He finished with the score of all those guys combined, 885.
And Charlie, what are you getting to here?
Charlie, Alex. Dustin Johnson. You had Rose, Garcia, Finau. I think all your guys actually made the cut, if I'm not mistaken. Except for Sergio, I guess, maybe.
Yes.
And Dustin Johnson, we know, finished second. You had 850, so you blew out Bill there.
And
then I had Tiger, who was disappointing. Rory came on strong on the back end of the weekend. Molinari and Spieth. And Spieth was a nice showing. 847.
And the winner is?
That's two majors in a row, Charlie. I'm just saying. I mean, it's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, but here we are. I mean, this is very scientific. This clearly says a lot.
Now, Vegas does a lot of things for sports.
Absolutely.
Now, golf is starting to study about partnering.
Yeah, partnering up. This is what all these leagues are doing.
Would you bet on golf?
Oh, I mean, I do. Yeah, I already do.
It's fun, isn't it?
And the reason why the PGA Tour should, just like the NFL, is starting to partner up with, I think it's MGM or Caesars and the NBA. This is how it's, I mean, this is the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it would be silly if the PGA doesn't do that going forward. And it was interesting. It's interesting you bring that angle up, Charlie, because at the PGA, before it all started, as they do with all these majors, they have their broadcast partner kind of hold a press conference.
Right.
And CBS Sports was in Turner broadcasting the PGA. And one of the questions to Jim Nance was about, will you incorporate basically betting into your broadcast? And CBS has a stance kind of right now. They're kind of against it. That's a pretty public stance. But I think in the next 2-3 years, you're going to start seeing during golf. And I want to ask you, because you're old school, right?
Yes.
When it comes to that mentality. But there's people like myself and others that they need to attract more to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And from a viewing audience, I personally wouldn't mind. I would enjoy it. When Brooks Koepka was starting to struggle, and Dustin, I would have loved to have seen on the broadcast in the lower third graphic updated live odds. Koepka, who, by the way, was like minus 2,000 to win, which for those that don't know, you would have to bet $2,000 to win 100. That's what that's saying. I would love for that to update it as he was starting to struggle a little bit. That kind of stuff, I think, is the future and what we're going to see in golf.
Well, it's kind of interesting that CBS would take that stance when they're so big in the NFL. And I've always said that there wouldn't be an NFL if there wasn't, betting. I mean, how big would that not be?
There would. It just wouldn't be as big. I mean, look what fantasy football, right, in fantasy golf, all these things have done.
Yeah.
And the next step to that is certainly live betting. And so thinking of that, why we're on that topic real briefly, the odds are out for the U.S. Open. No surprise, Brooks Koepka, the favorite.
8-1?
Not as good as that. I don't think you can get it as good as that anymore. That's the problem because because of what he did at the PGA. I think he opened before the PGA started. If I'm not mistaken, he was 9-1. And now you can't get, the problem is now you can't get any good value on him. He's plus 600.
Yeah.
So again, you got to bet
600 to win 100.
Well, plus 600. So you bet 100 to win 600.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Because again, it's still, it's still a little ways out. So, and then Dustin Johnson, second best odds, number two player in the world, plus 700. Tiger, because it's Tiger, he still has the third best odds to win it. at plus 1,000. And people are going to always bet on Tiger anyway.
Yeah, and I think Tiger coming out and saying he's going to play at Memorial at Jack's tournament up in Columbus, Ohio. I think he learned his lesson.
Yeah, you're not surprised by this decision.
No. I thought he'd play one more, but.
Oh, really? You thought maybe he'd sneak in a third? Is that yeah. would that be too much though for him?
I don't think so for his. Anyways, so I don't think it'd be too much, but he's got to run his railroad. His railroad the way he sees it. So it's going to be fun leading up in the venue. Pebble Beach is close to my heart because, number one, that was the first course I ever played in the United States.
Really? I did not know that.
Number two, that's where my daughter had her wedding.
Oh, wow.
Right behind the 18th green. I mean, that's expensive green fee.
I was going to say, just a little bit. But talk about picturesque.
We went out there for 5 days and played golf and just, Pebble Beach is just a glorious place in our country. So you can go and enjoy golf by just looking at the scenery. So
Now, I haven't heard of what course is the Charles Schwab Challenge at that's going on right now? It's in Fort Worth, right?
Yes, that is in Colonial.
It's Colonial. Okay, I've heard of Colonial. I didn't know that's where
it's at. One of Hogan's favorite places. He lived in Fort Worth. He was a member at Colonial. He has all his he has a museum there. They honor him. That's where Dan Jenkins did all of his work. He graduated from TCU. So, Fort Worth is just a wonderful golf town. And you think about it, what we have, and we got the Houston Open, we've got the AT&T professional tournament in San Antonio, in Dallas we have the AT&T Dallas tournament, and then in Fort Worth we have another tour event. So
yeah, and
plus in Austin we have the match play.
That's
so
right.
Texas is a very viable state, and they support golf very, very well.
And I bring up the Charles Schwab Challenge, and you take a look at the leaderboard. And first off, I noticed one name right away, and that is Jordan Spieth, once again,
yes,
in the top five.
Yes.
And that was kind of the secondary storyline last week for me, was how would he finish out the weekend? Because he had good Thursdays and Fridays, but he was one of the worst weekend golfers on the tour. And he got a top five finish at the PGA. Right now, he is tied for fifth at 5 under, and he tees off for around 12:30 or so this afternoon. We'll see what happens today and tomorrow. But have we seen kind of a corner turned, for Spieth?
I think we have. I think during this downtime that he's experienced, we all should learn from it, and the highs and lows of any sport, the agony and the ecstasy, and he's handling the agony pretty well with his attitude. You hear him talk the way he talks about what he's going through. He understands we should have all our juniors listen to him because sport, sure, it's physically, but it's like
golf is as mental as it comes.
It's
right?
110% mental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you always hear that, 100%. So. I think Spieth, I hope if he can have another strong week, it just creates some more momentum and excitement for us for Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
If he continues to play well, and then it makes him a legit contender at Pebble if he continues to put together some good rounds.
You know, one of the things is we're sitting here talking, and we want to hear from our listeners. My email address is cep68@att.net. If you want Alex or me to answer a question, text us. Send us an email. We're on the podcast, correct?
Yep, every show is podcasted. That's right. Yep, every show is podcasted, podcastarena.com. So if anybody misses bits of the show or wants to check back on what maybe an interview or something we did in weeks before, absolutely every single show is right up there.
cep68@att.net. You know why the 68's in there?
I was actually thinking about asking you.
I was 68 years old when my wife made that.
Yeah,
it's not that I shoot 68 anymore. And to all of you senior golfers out there, I'm now understand what senior golf's all about, and it sucks. I can't hit a golf ball to save my life over 200 yards. I had my buddies.
Oh, you're still golfing better than the 90% out there.
Yeah, but I had my buddies out at Golf Club of Houston, which we have a wonderful group of guys that are members there, and then golf is fun out there, and I had my wallet out really quick. I was paying these guys, and I hate it that one of them actually even had sympathy about me.
You know, that's
too bad. So I'm gonna show them. I got to get back to some sense of pride.
Oh, I'm sure it's not as bad as he's letting on, guys. Horrible. By the way, I'm sure it's not as bad as Charlie's letting on. By the way, Jonas Blix, the leader at the Charles Schwab, he's got a one-stroke lead, 9 under. Kevin Na, Tony Finau, they're tied for second. Coming up next, we'll wrap things up heading into the rest of our Memorial Day weekend, and a little tweak potentially coming on the PGA Tour in terms of a rule. We'll do that, and I'll even ask Charlie maybe about the NBA for a second as well. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Things winding down on this Saturday morning. It is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We got Jose Partida producing the show across the glass as well. Bill Harmon at the Senior PGA Championship there at Oak Hill. He's caddying for Jay Haas, so he'll be back with us next Saturday. We'll talk all about that with him again on the Memorial Day weekend. Looking forward, hopefully, for those to take some time and obviously think about and honor those that served our country, those that sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice for our country as well. So we're able to enjoy this weekend, but let's not forget why we are able to do so. Should be gorgeous weather throughout the weekend for those of you in Houston or hopefully wherever you're listening from, our affiliates across the country or online as well, or if you're listening back on our podcast. Charlie, just a couple more minutes here on the show. A rule change potentially. I just want a quick thought on this. A new policy from the PGA looking like it's going to be enacted here soon that basically would limit the number of players that advance to the weekend to the top 65 in ties. So right now, the top 70 players in all ties make the cut each week on the PGA Tour, and if 78 or more make the cut, then a secondary cut is implemented after 54 holes. Well, the new measure would do away with the secondary cut completely. It would also reduce the cut size to the top 65 players in ties. There's also a change up in purse. Maybe they would reallocate 20% of the purse to the winner or 2% more than it's currently given each week.
That used to be 18%. It's just housekeeping for the guys on the PGA Tour. You know, half the field every week doesn't make a check.
Think about that,
You know, a baseball player, it's guaranteed money. But having said that, they'll work it out. It's no big deal. It's mainly for television. And because now there's so much parity, there's too many guys. There's a lot of times 80 guys making the cut. And then what they do, they have a secondary cut on Saturday night. And the last 8 guys, they still get paid, but they don't play.
Now, is that for every tournament? Like, for instance, at the PGA Championship, that didn't apply, though.
No, because the PGA Championship is not a tour event.
Right, so it's separate.
Yeah, but the tour events all have a cut, the low 70. But a lot of times, because low 70 in ties, a lot of time that means 80 players. And to try to get them around on the weekend, especially Saturday and Sunday, even more because of television. So it's just housekeeping, no big deal.
So nothing too big. It's mainly, as you said, kind of also for the, I don't want to say bottom tier, but middle of the road, kind of back end of the field.
It's all about television.
More than anything else. Hey, that's where the money's at. That's all the rights and everything that comes with it as well. All right. Anything we didn't get to? I think we got everything today, Charlie, that we need to address.
Well, the Colonial Tournament going on. Jonas Blix shot a great 64 yesterday and is leading. And our good friend Jordan Spieth is had a pretty good tournament, making all sorts of putts. But the interesting name that I see on the leaderboard is Jim Furyk. Jim Furyk. He's there. So the Colonial Golf Course kind of favors or allows older guys to compete. And so we've got that. We got Tony Finau. And, you know, it's a good leaderboard. And Jordan's there. So it'll be a fun weekend.
I always wondered how many guys would be in that, you know, after playing in the PGA Championship, you know, how many big names would play. And certainly there, you just mentioned a couple right there, yeah. And Spieth, yeah. And Finau.
So we'll see next week. But we're all, you know, going to be concerned about is the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
Can't wait for it.
Moving forward and who's going to be your favorite, who you're going to bet on.
We'll do another foursome draft. I got to keep the streak going. I'm two in a row here that I've won on the show.
Hey, can I have the button on that? He's going to say that all the time. Huh?
We'll get that saved. I'm going to get it saved as what we call a drop, Charlie, where you're just going to play it.
I see. And, yeah. And
Jose,
Jose, what kind of dog do you have?
A Chihuahua named Clutch.
Clutch.
That makes sense. Clutch is a mouse. But that's okay.
I named him after the mascot of the Houston Rockets.
And the mascot's he's a bear or a mouse. Yeah. Or something. Anyways, thanks for all your help.
Good stuff, Charlie. It was fun. We'll get Bill back with us next week as well. Hope everybody has a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. It's been the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio.
See y'all next week, everybody. Bye-bye.